Ezekiel 34. We're going to look at two sections in this chapter, verses 1 through 6 and verses 11 through 16. And we've got basically two divisions before us here tonight in this text of the 34th of Ezekiel, and they're two very remarkable and vastly separate divisions. One, verses 1 through 6, shows abuse and dereliction of duty and call. The other, verses 11 through 16, shows faithfulness, deliverance, and divine protection. One of these divisions, verses 1 through 6, is as far in the opposite direction from the other as it possibly can be. We're going to see error versus truth, self versus selflessness, works versus grace, bondage versus freedom, hate versus love, helplessness versus hope, man at his best, and God at his best. So let's look at these, at this section. What I've got entitled is Once Abused, Now Delivered and Protected. Chapter 34 of Ezekiel, and verses 1 through 6 in our first division. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Now this is the pastors, elders, teachers, bishops. They're termed shepherds, under-shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered. The sheep were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. We're going to stop right there. We're going to read verses 11 through 16, but let's just look at this division, this first part. Tonight, let's look at this one right now, and then I'll read, and then we'll look at the others. But what we have in verses 1 through 6 is false shepherds abusing the sheep. False shepherds, false preachers, pastors, elders, or teachers. And here's what he says in verse 2. God is speaking to his prophet and true under shepherd, one of his true under shepherds, Ezekiel, and he says, prophesy against them. Prophesy against them. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Now, we've got five or six things under this, these first six verses. But he tells, God tells the true prophet, or the true preacher, the true pastor, bishop, elder, he tells him to prophesy against, preach against, speak against these who say they know the gospel, who say they know the truth, who say they're pastors, who say they're preachers, elders, deacons, whoever, and they're not. He says prophesy against them. And basically what that means is expose them. Expose them. Now again, this gives, does not give any true gospel preacher license to go around either throwing stones or publicly humiliating either, you know, other men that are so-called preachers. However, when we stand up here to preach the gospel, or we read something, or we hear something, or see something that is not of the truth, we have authority from God's Word to rebuke it, to expose it, to say, well, that's not the truth. That's not the truth. I'll give you an example. Scott Richardson was out in his yard. I think he was out in his garden. And he was tilling it, working it, and these Jehovah's Witnesses came up to him and started to talk to him. He just stopped what he did, stood up, and just said with a loud voice, "I perceive that you are a false prophet." And they kept trying to talk to him, and he just kept on saying the same thing. False prophet. Oh, but that's, you know, people today, that's not politically correct, that's not all these different things, but we have an unction from the Word of God prophesy against the shepherds that feed themselves, that are more concerned about number, all these different things that are not preaching the gospel. They're not preaching the gospel. There's nothing wrong with standing up. And again, you know, there's a balance here. Whatever that is, I don't know. But I do know we're not to be mean-spirited and all these other things. But there's nothing wrong with, as Paul says, preach the truth, speaking the truth in love. And it's not love when somebody is standing up and lying to people, making them twice-fold the children as hell as themselves, like Christ says in the New Testament, by lying to them. And then not saying anything. And especially false preachers, or they're called shepherds here, who are deceiving people day in and day out. He says the first thing is prophesy against them, expose them. Expose them. You know, that's not the truth. That's not the truth. That's not the gospel. That's not how God saves sinners. We're all working for the same thing. No, we're not. No, we're not. I listened to a CD, a message the other day from Donnie Bell, and he was in a passage in Acts, and he just said, you know, there's plenty of places in Acts where people are speaking and they're not speaking the truth, and the apostles, they rebuked them. And he said, you know, you're not telling the truth. You're lying on God. And if everybody around here is preaching the gospel, or preaching the same thing, and we're all saying the same thing, I don't know about you, but it's time to close these doors, sell this place, and let's go among them. It's that simple. If the same thing's being said, then there's ways, you know, there's no need in being separate. But here's the issue here. Verse 2, not only does he say to prophesy against them, expose them, but he says, woe unto them, and here's the charge. They feed themselves. They feed themselves. Now, when I worked for the city, and there would be these conventions, these religious conventions and stuff at the arena, one man said something to me, and I didn't even pay attention because I wasn't paying attention on purpose. But he came up to me, one of my co-workers, and said, it must be a preacher's convention or a religious. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, look out in the parking lot. Well, apparently, the congregation people were to park out front, but there was special parking around the side so they could come in the side door. And that's where the preachers were supposed to park. Every one of them had Cadillacs. Every one of them had Cadillacs. No big deal? Probably not. But I guarantee you, religion in this country is high dollar. It's a lot of money. And those men came in. They didn't go down. They had $500,000-$600,000 suits, but they didn't pay $129 for them, Matt, like we do. You know, they were paying top dollar for that. They feed themselves. That's a charge against them. In verse 2, woe unto the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. It was a problem back then. It's this problem today. You know, you talk to Scotty Cross when you see him about a church that's down there in Springfield, probably the biggest church down there. And Jeremy Walker was just, he couldn't believe it. And I said, listen to him. This church down there, you have to apply for membership. I mean, written application, like a job. Then after they read it, if they want to talk to you, you have to go in and sit down for interviews to be a member of their church. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe three interviews. And then all part of that interview process, you have to guarantee that you're going to give so much every month. I mean, they tell you, and if it doesn't meet their standards, you're not going to be a member. Well, incidentally, they have a Starbucks inside the building, and Scotty says they're getting ready to put in a Burger King inside the church building. Where's that? I know quite a few missionaries who are actually preaching the gospel who certainly could use help. But no, let's put a Burger King in our church. So that's pretty far out there. Well, that is out there because there's nothing like that around here. But there's all sorts of stuff just like that in this area. The second accusation is, he says, verse 3, you eat the fat and you clothe you with wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. They feed themselves. They're well-to-do. They have access. They eat the fat. Excess. With food and raiment, therewith be content. But there's all this other stuff too. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having more or desiring more, but this is at the expense of the sheep. This is at the expense of the sheep. Well, he goes on to a fivefold charge, starting with this verse here, in verse 4, a fivefold charge against these false preachers. Look at what he says, starting verse 4. The disease, you haven't strengthened. Secondly, you haven't healed the sick. Thirdly, you haven't bound up that which was broken. Fourthly, you haven't brought again that which was driven away. And fifthly, you haven't sought the lost. Fivefold charge. Now, two things here. I'll stop talking about the false shepherds. This is a very good description of what we are by nature. Of what everybody in this room is by nature. Diseased, without strength, sick, broken, driven away, and lost. That is a good description of everyone outside of Christ. The charge is that they didn't desire to strengthen the flock by the preaching of the gospel, by fellowship, communion. They didn't desire to heal the sick by preaching the balm of Gilead, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather have traditions and works that do not heal the sick. They didn't bound up the broken. Those who were driven away, who were downcast, they didn't try to help. The only help that's possible is through Christ. And we can help one another, but the only lasting help is the help that's afforded us in Christ. And they didn't seek after the lost. They were seeking after titles and positions and company and all these things. You know, I know Matt and I were talking about, I don't know if there's money involved with it or what, but there's certainly prestige to be the chaplain or the bishop or the preacher who says the prayer with the football team, who travels with the basketball team, and all these different things. There's prestige in that. It's just to be seen of men. Look at Isaiah 56. Turn with me to Isaiah 56, which will be here in a couple weeks, I guess. Isaiah 56, concerning a charge Isaiah brings, a very similar charge against false preachers, false shepherds, who tend more for themselves and their own needs and not the needs, of the people that they're pastoring. Isaiah 56, look at start verse 9. All ye beasts of the field, come to devour, yea, all ye beasts of the forest. his watchmen, and that's preachers are also called watchmen, are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving the slumber. I know some preachers like that. I really do. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow we shall be as this day, and much more abundant. And for his own gain. These charges are true because they're in this book. And they will prove to be the undoing and sure judgment upon all who preach the false gospels of today. Woe to you if you follow such a shepherd or under shepherd as this, and woe to me if I become one. I was listening to somebody preach, Don Porter, it doesn't matter who it was, but they said, you know, don't take what I say. What's this book say? I mean, yes, respect me as your pastor and et cetera, but I'm a man. I'm a sinner. Search the Scripture that what I'm telling you is true. And I know people, you know, there's people who will say, well, you know, people need to see Jesus in us. Well, they didn't see Jesus in Jesus, did they? Had they would, they would have not slain the Son of Glory. He came into His own and His own received Him not. What would Jesus do? He did it and they hated Him. So I think a lot of this stuff, in my opinion, and I think it's based upon Scripture, a lot of stuff is just to be seen of men, and it's just, we don't understand how vile and corrupt we are. And that's why this fivefold description, this accusation against false shepherds, what they weren't doing to the sheep, is a good description of what we are outside of Christ anyway. Lost and broken, unbound, driven away. But this isn't the end of our study. Look at the one who is the true and good shepherd. One which all true under-shepherds should and do follow His ways. Verses 11 through 16. So now we had these opposites. False shepherds do this and don't do that. They're cruel. They're mean. There's a man in the New Testament called Diotrephes in the book of, I think it's 1st or 3rd John. And he loved to have the preeminence. He wanted to have the power. And he cast out people in the church, which I would say today would be excommunication. If you don't do this, this, and that, you're out of here. And Scotty and I were talking not too long ago, and he said, had he gone on that, you know, had he gone on his path that he was going before, when his pastor taught, his former pastor, he said, yeah, we'd have to excommunicate you. I'm like, red flag. People who are here, by God's grace, I want people that are here that want to be here. If there's an issue, I want to be able to help any way I can. But Lynn and I were talking about this, that old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. We can indoctrinate, we can teach, we can preach, we can pray, but unless God, the Holy Spirit, gives light and understanding, it's just knowledge, just head knowledge. That's all it is. Don't trust in bright lights. Don't trust in anything other than what this book says. And I'm not going to dispute people that say they've seen lights on it because that experience was real to them, or they said Jesus, somebody spoke to them. All these things were real. But I know, if it's not according to what this book says, it's not of God. It's not of God. But look at the true shepherd. He does not abuse, but delivers and protects his flock. Look at the contrast. Verse 11, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep," the other shepherds, they didn't seek out the lost. He says, "I'm going to search them and I'm going to seek them out." Verse 12, "As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." Verse 13, "I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land." They were driven away, but Christ is going to get his people and bring them to himself. "And feed them," the other shepherds, the false shepherds, fed themselves, Christ, "at the expense of himself, the just dying for the unjust. He's going to feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country." Verse 14, "I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost." It's just the opposite language. "Will bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken, and I will strengthen that which was sick." We'll stop right there. He searches and seeks out his people. Turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. "For the Son of Man," that's who we're talking about. Before we were talking about people who called themselves Christians, called themselves elders, bishops, deacons, but they mocked the gospel, they mocked the Son. For the Son of Man, Christ, now we're speaking of the Christ, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Seek and save. The second thing, he's going to bring again the driven away ones. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. The accusation against the false preachers was that they didn't bring back those who were driven away. But Christ brings his people back to one fold. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse 18. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." Driven away by false shepherds, driven away by our own sin. But he once suffered for sins, just for the unjust, brings us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He brought us back. We who were born and then practice literally running away from God because of our sin. But he brought us back unto God by blood, by grace, by mercy. Thirdly, he binds up the broken. Psalms 51 says, the things that are of God, the things that God sees, the things that God does, the things that God will honor is a broken and a contrite heart. I have this quote from Henry. I think it's very good here. He says, "Nothing broken is worth much. A broken arm, a broken leg, it's not worth much. But except the heart. Nothing broken is worth much except the heart, which is then at its best state, because a broken heart means a humble heart, a submissive heart, one that has been made ready for pardon, peace, and forgiveness." People say, you know, something's broken, you get rid of it. Lynn and I, we go to her mom's, we go stuff drives us crazy. It's broken. It's, of course, beauty is in the eyes of the beholders, I guess. But it's like, it's broken. It's not... Get rid of it. Well, a broken heart. Now that's worth a lot because of who broke it and what he's about to do. He's about to heal it. He's about to bind up, says our text, bind up the brokenhearted. Then he says that he strengthens. He strengthens the sick. Back in our text, he says that which he binds up that which is broken, and he strengthens that which is sick. He strengthens that which is sick. Turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, he strengthens that which was sick. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he, that is Christ, hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He strengthens the sick. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, here it is, we're healed. Sick from our own corruption and our fig leaf religious works, yet he heals by grace divine and strengthens us and gives us songs in the night, trusting only and solely in the merits of Emmanuel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we'll close the last section of verse 16. We have but another, yet another contrast. Back in our text, Ezekiel 34, verse 16, the last section, he says that he strengthened that which was sick, but, there's the contrast, he says he will destroy the fat and the strong and will feed them with judgment. He will destroy the fat and the strong. He's going to uphold and strengthen and help and heal and seek the lost, the bruised, the weak, the wounded. But those who are fat and strong in and of themselves, the picture is this. I would say fat made so by their own free will and over indulgent traditions. The incense, the crosses, the walking the aisles, what, all these traditions, they indulge themselves in these traditions instead of the gospel, instead of the truth. And they see all this stuff going on. So, well, that's got to be of God because there's activity going on. The guy's got a robe on. He's got all these different things going on. They might be look well-to-do, but he says he's going to destroy the fat and the strong. Strong, those who think they are self-sufficient in their own delusions and lies. There's an article in the paper. I couldn't read it. There's a picture of a guy. He's in Jackson. He's sitting up there and he's waving everybody. It's Jesus saved. He's got this big old cross on. Well, I read the first paragraph. He hopes that God will save the whole world. He's praying for the whole world. What did we read the other day in John 17? Christ Himself says, I pray for these. I pray not for the world. So, as nice as that sounded, he's on the other side of what God says He's going to do. Again, these things are not politically correct, and you know, oh, you're so critical. Well, Son of Man, prophesy against. It's religiously nice. It looks good. we should be nice to him. He should be nice to us. I'm not saying any of that, but I'm saying when it comes down, take all that stuff off. And the truth of the matter is, the flock is being scattered because of lies. My desire for you and for me is to flee to Christ, who is our healer, He is our help, and He is our health. Our health. Matt, would you close us, please?